Hello, everyone, and welcome to Buzzer Beaters, Episode 9. This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters. Buzzer Beaters is a podcast that is dedicated to basketball, with an emphasis on the NBA. Buzzer Beaters is a property of GremlingsMedia.com. You can find Buzzer Beaters at GremlingsMedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile of Gremlings Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. You can also find us on Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. This is your first time. The format of this show is that Anthony and I will go ahead and pick topics that we play host to each other's topics. Now, we have been doing traditionally four topics, but in the last few weeks, we've been going up against time, so we've only been doing three topics, and the same thing is going to apply this week. We're only going to do three topics with the intent of going no more than an hour for each episode. So the total of each topic for this week will probably run about 20 minutes on average. We might go a little bit over, we might go a little bit under, but that is the intent. So for this week, the topics are going to be the NBA playoffs. We always talk about the NBA playoffs because that's what's going on. That's going to be the first one. The second topic is one that Tuan is going to be hosting. So Tuan, go ahead and let the people know what you want to talk about for the second topic.
Yeah, so for the last couple of weeks, we've kind of put together our top five over some of these episodes. You may have seen we had top five if we had to put together a roster for the next 5 years. Then we had a top five regarding kind of regardless of time or era, the top five players of all time or how we would assemble our team. Then last week, I believe we had the top five most underrated players. And this year, we're going to go a little bit on the negative tip. So the Tuan pessimist side, we're going to go the top five most overrated players in the history of the NBA. So we'll kind of dig into that. I have more than five, but I will stick to five and we'll go from there.
Cool. And that's going to be a controversial segment just because, you know, we're probably going to pick some of the favorite players of our audience. Right. And they're once they hear that name, they're going to be like, just what are you talking about? And I'm sure we're going to get comments on this one. But again, we invite your comments. We want your comments because we like to interact with you guys. So please feel free to comment away. All right. So for the last topic, you know, we all know that Bill Walton just passed away yesterday. So we wanted to go ahead and spend some time to remember him, to go over his playing career, also his broadcasting career. And the guy was just a character, man, and he was a big loss to the NBA. So we're going to spend some time to go ahead and revere that person in the last segment. So let's go ahead and start off the show, Tuan. So we're now in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Eastern Conference Finals ended. In an unbelievable fashion, because the last time we had this show, Boston had barely just escaped in winning the first game, and they went up 1-0.
They should have lost,
right? Yeah. So we're like, right? These guys are, you know, they're full of themselves, right? And then lo and behold, it just woke them up, man, because they just completely started playing like the Boston Celtics everybody's been talking about, right? They stuck to a certain game plan. We saw Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown driving consistently to the basket and essentially just forcing the Indiana Pacers to guard them. And, you know, if they're not able to guard them, they're going to go ahead and score. If they are able to guard them, they just pass off and dish off to like a Derek White or Drew Holiday, you know, an Al Horford. I mean, one game, Al Horford had like the game of his life from the playoffs. It's unbelievable how much he'd be scoring three-pointers. But, you know, now we are here that the Celtics swept the Pacers. And, I mean, the games were close. And what's interesting, you know, there was a trend that was going on during the series is that the games were close all the way up until the last 3 minutes. You know, then the Celtics just kind of with their veteran mettle just start, you know, they just started separating themselves. And they made less mistakes. And, the Indiana Pacers, you know, for all of their speed and tempo, you know, the run TMP, they started committing turnovers. And those turnovers were killing them, man. So I was very surprised by the outcome, man, about what happened. What did you see, Tuan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw similar to what you're saying. You know, in terms of the Celtics showing their mettle, I think the one guy who showed them the way was Drew Holiday. That guy just towards the end of games, his defense intensity went up. He was grabbing rebounds. I really think that he was their guiding light. But the interesting part is that I saw these games as a sort of like a microcosm of what the Boston Celtics have been this year, which is kind of lackadaisical through about three quarters, or my perception of lackadaisical. Yeah. And then, oh no, we might lose, turn it up. And, you know, and they did take advantage of going inside, which, you know, we've said, and many sports people have said throughout history, defense wins championships. And the Pacers just couldn't stop them going inside. I mean, Jaylen Brown, who won the MVP for the Eastern Conference finals, or the Eastern Conference championship, he was just aggressive as could be. He kept attacking the hoop. I mean, he played really, really well. And once Halliburton got hurt, I mean, you
that's
know.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
That sealed their fate, unfortunately. But you got to give it to Indiana, man. They played hard, man. And if anything would happen is the injury of Halliburton saw the emergence of Andrew Nembhard. Andrew Nembhard showed up, and he's a budding star in the making.
He is.
You know, guy from Gonzaga, right? I mean, he was a good player at Gonzaga. And then, you know, he's over here, he was playing as a two guard for most of the season. That's what he played. But he was forced to play the point guard this time. And, man, maybe that was a revelation of his game. I mean, the guy was super aggressive offensively and shooting at an efficient clip. He was actually playing very well, man. And the Celtics, you know, were having a hard time kind of containing him, which was surprising, right? So to me...
Which neither of us picked as an X factor, by the way.
No. I mean, you picked McConnell. I picked Neesmith, right?
Yep.
And McConnell, surprisingly, I think Carlisle should be playing that guy way more often.
I think so too.
I don't get it, man. I mean, that guy was just, he plays hard, man. He shows grit and, you know, and he plays both ways. I mean, he plays good D and he's just like, you know, a nuisance. Like, he's one of these guys that just presses the opposing, you know, point guard. And from an offensive standpoint, he's got that good little, you know, mid-range jumper as he's driving to the basket and pulls away that fadeaway. And he has that little jumper that's well, and he's a very good distributor, man. I just don't understand why Carlisle wasn't playing him that much. I think he probably just thought that he has an advantage with him coming off the bench because then he's playing against, you know, the second team of the Celtics, right? But, you know, the Celtics, they're deep. You know, whoever's out there, they're going to be able to play. And in my opinion, I think Carlisle should have played McConnell more.
I agree. I mean, I was watching McConnell, and in some ways, you know, he kind of reminded me of a Jeff Hornacek type guy, just a tough SOB who has a good shooting, you know, is not afraid of anything, won't back down. You know, I agree. I mean, on a team where defense was lacking, it's a little – I wonder why you would sit – what looked to be one of your best perimeter defenders.
Absolutely, man. I don't get it, man. But, you know, I got to tell you, the silver lining is this team, the Indiana Pacers, are going to be a contender in the next few years. That's what I see. Even without, you know, their best player, they brought it against, even though they got swept, right? Every game was close. There wasn't really any significant blowouts, really. I mean, every game was close. So that tells me that Indiana is ready for the next step, man. They're here, right? I think they're maybe like, you know, Ben Mathurin was out, right, for the entire series. You add him into this rotation, and all of a sudden they're very dangerous. All of a sudden, right? I mean, Ben Mathurin, you can argue, could be a guy that should be starting, but, you know, Carlisle likes to, you know, use his strengths, like, you know, against the second unit because he's a scoring machine. And, you know, very athletic. And, you know, we saw it in the Rising Stars Challenge, how athletic that guy is. You know, he's a good player, man. It came out of Arizona. And, you know, unfortunately, he got injured and missed the season, missed the regular the postseason. But, you know, with him in the mix, this team is dangerous. But I still think they probably need to make maybe just one move, man. And I don't know what that move is. You know, I'm just thinking
interior defense, Eddie. Interior defense.
Yeah, but you got Miles Turner, who's like one of the best shot blocking centers in the NBA. You had Pascal Siakam, who's actually a pretty good defensive power forward. I don't know, you know, what they're missing there. But they just need, I think, in my opinion, they need one more probably long shooter. You know who would be really good for this team, man? Kevin Durant, man. Kevin Durant would be really good for this team.
Yeah.
You know, really someone good. Like him. Oh, yeah. But, you know, the Celtics.
Wow, yeah, good call. Good call. Yeah. Draft's coming up. Trades are going to be made. And exactly. That is definitely.
He would be ideal for this team because that's what they need, a long three. I mean, Nesmith is a good defending guy, but I don't know if he's a starter. He's probably more of a rotation piece. Yeah. Kevin Durant would make them formidable, really formidable. So we'll see. I'm throwing that out as a rumor, right? It's a potential fit for Kevin Durant out there, Pacer fans. So
exactly.
But you know what I can say? One thing I'll tell you about the Celtics, though, is that they definitely looked way more determined, more so than in years past. You know, I think they learned a lot from the time they lost against the Warriors in 2022. You know, they had kind of a laissez-faire attitude at times in that series. You know, they felt that they were the better team. And they honestly, let's all face it, they were the better team. But the Warriors just executed them, really, right? And Steph Curry happened, right? But, you know, for this one, they seem to be way more focused. They have a game plan now. And now they have a rallying cry, man. You know, we already talked about in the intro, Bill Walton passed away. And Bill Walton was a Celtic, right? And
he was a Celtic,
and he was a revered Celtic. You know, he won Sixth Man of the Year two times for the Celtics, helped them win a championship. You know, and we all see what happens when things like this happen to a team. They rally around this, right?
They're coming up on a buzzsaw on the West, I think. which
we shall see. Yeah.
They're coming into their own over there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good segue, man. We can go and talk about, you know, the West now. But the Boston Celtics, you know, just swept the Pacers. They're now waiting for the outcome of what's going to happen in the West. And as we're having this podcast, the Wolves and Mavericks are playing right now in a tight game. And the Mavericks are up 3-0, which is so surprising, man. Nobody saw this.
We were
predicting that the Wolves were going to go ahead and take it in seven. I mean, you know, You had predicted that. I had the Nuggets, but you had predicted. But after, you know, my fate was sealed in our little contest, you know, and I jumped on the Wolves bandwagon too because I'm thinking, man, this team is deep. And, you know, so far that depth hasn't really mattered much in this series. You know, to me, what I have seen, bro, is that the Mavericks, their defense has stepped up big time, man. Their defense is actually better than I think people are giving them credit for. And then the other thing, we've already been talking about the matchup nightmare, that is Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. These guys just break defenses down in a different way. Luka does it with the size, and, you know, he's shifty. And then you got, you know, Kyrie Irving, who's just got the best ball handling skills, has whole defense on skates, and actually could probably break down whole defense by himself. But, you know, a guy like that can just distribute to the open guy. And these guys, you know, these ancillary players, you know, have been playing well. In particular, their centers. You know, you had Daniel Gafford, P.J. Washington, Derek Lively. You know, and unfortunately, Derek Lively, you know, strained his neck in the last game, and he's not playing tonight. You know, and we thought that might have an impact, you know, because he has been key for the Dallas Mavericks. But these three bigs have neutralized the bigs for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that was the strength of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So,
no, it was. It's incredible how matchups make a difference. I mean, in the Denver series, Gobert and Towns played such a pivotal role. They were so important at containing Jokic, throwing fouls at him, throwing bodies at him, and that has completely turned around in this series. The athleticism, which, you know, Towns and Gobert aren't slouches in terms of athleticism, but the athleticism of Lively, the athleticism of Gabbert, they've been – like playing really, really solid.
Yep, and you can see. I mean, Luka and Kyrie are just Lob City 2.0 here. You know, you're seeing these guys just getting easy dunks left and right. Especially Gafford. Gafford and Lively are just getting dunks left and right. You know, to help you know the defense. You know, or the offense. You know, that has a defense keying on one of these guards. You know, they'll just lob it up, and these guys are just throwing it down. I mean, both those guys are playing really, really well and surprisingly neutralized the biggest strength of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And what I see also, bro, is that, you know, Anthony Edwards, I mean, the guy's he's a dog out there, man. I mean, he's a beast. I mean, if anything we've seen here is that this guy has arrived, and he arrived this season. And, you know, he's playing well tonight. He played well the last game, but he's kind of by himself right now, man. You know, Karl Anthony Towns is missing in action, bro. He's having really, really bad games, getting into foul trouble. And, you know, they you know, once one, and he's another scoring threat for him. You know, he's He's actually a three-point shooting big. He has actually a pretty good shot. He's won the three-point contest a few times, at least for the skills challenge, you know, in the All-Star game. But, you know, and he's won the three-point contest as well. So he's a good shooting big, and he actually has a defensive presence, but he gets in the foul trouble too much, man. And I think he's being the biggest disappointment for the Wolves right now, because they need somebody else to score to help Anthony Edwards out, because he's carrying a big load right now.
I do think, though, Anthony Edwards, I don't want to necessarily say that he's, you know, tired, but he's definitely, his energy has been lower than in the previous series.
Yeah, and it's probably because he's just, he, as young as he is, he's carrying the team, man. He's got a big load, man.
He does.
And it's probably, I mean, and he's playing hard both ways. On defense as well. I mean, you know, remember when the series started out, he called out Kyrie Irving. He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna guard him, right?" And he probably did that to focus himself. And of course, you know, because he's, you know, put some pressure on himself, he's playing harder now on the defensive end because he called himself out. He wants to be focused on that end. And with defense comes a lack, you know, of energy. It just drains your energy, man. You know, that's why you don't see too many good two-way players in the NBA, because defense is so taxing, man, and it could take away from your offensive game if you're not in shape, man. So that's
probably and maybe that's a lesson Ant-Man has learned as well. You know, be careful what bears you poke.
Yeah,
Kyrie's not a fool when it comes to, you know, understanding the game of basketball and his abilities. He's second to none in terms of some of the things that he does. So you do want to be careful.
Yeah, I agree, and he's helped out this team tremendously, man. I mean, he's the only guy on the Mavericks that has a championship.
And he's from the way he's talking to the media, from the way he's – I've been really impressed with Kyrie.
Yeah, me too.
He's really done a 180 in terms of kind of where he's at, in terms of the his perspective, his teamwork, or his attitude, I guess I should say. There's other outstanding reasons why he was, you know, COVID, you know, things of that nature. But – injuries and things like that, but you know, he's really stepped it up, and to the point where I think Dallas has got a good shot of beating Boston, like really good shot.
I mean, we all see it coming. I mean, you know, right now as we're speaking, the Timberwolves are up by 1 point right now, so it's in the fourth quarter with 9 minutes and 25 seconds left, but the writing's on the wall. It could be, if they lose tonight, it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. They'll win the next game, the Mavericks. But you know, the difference I see with Kyrie Irving, and it might be related to this, is that he's playing for a Hall of Fame point guard in Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd commands a lot of respect, you know. And, you know, he's definitely turned this team around and has actually made them more defensive-minded. And, you know, I think Kyrie is one of these types that probably, you know, won't listen to you unless you got something, man. And maybe that's what he had in other places he's been, is that he probably didn't have much respect for, you know, the coaches. It's possible. I'm just throwing that out there as a theory, right? Just because, you know, Jason Kidd is one of the all-time greats as a point guard, right? And he was a very defensive-minded point guard. I mean, that's what he was mostly known initially. And then all of a sudden he became this three-point shooter that we never saw that happening, but he became
never a very good shooter.
He became a good 3-point shooter.
That's a good observation, Eddie. I mean, it could be very much that Jason Kidd is bringing out the best in Kyrie, is telling him, you know, how to behave, what to look for, you know. Interestingly enough, you know, the undertone of why Kyrie left Cleveland was because he didn't want to play second dog to LeBron. Right, he wanted to kind of be his own man and make his own.
And
he is clearly deferring to Luka on this team. It is 100% obvious, and that mental state. You know, he's matured. He's a little older, but his psyche's changed, or at least his behavior has changed in these playoffs.
And you know, he played for the Brooklyn Nets. You know, he played for the Boston Celtics, so it'll be interesting if the Mavs are going to get by. But once the Mavs get there, it's going to be interesting. He's going to have extra, you know, a motivation to play against a former, you know, team that he played for in the Boston Celtics. But I think, you know, Kyrie Irving's experience in Brooklyn, where you had Durant, him and Harden, all number one guys, right? They all wanted to be the number one on that team, and it didn't work. You know, it did not work. And, you know, not only because of that, it's just because they were all injured, man, at different times. So they all really couldn't play together all the time. But there were some issues there from a personality standpoint. And I'm sure that that experience helped mold Kyrie a little bit to be who he is right now for the Mavericks, along with Jason Kidd's tutelage. So that's, I think that's probably why you're seeing Kyrie Irving emerge as this leader now, which we didn't we have never seen before, man. But he's the only guy that's a championship on the team, and he's got, you know, he commands respect. So people are going to listen to him.
So I got a question for you, Eddie. A couple of episodes ago, we were talking about potentially the new face of the NBA.
Yep.
Right? You think that if the Dallas Mavericks win this championship, is Luka the new face of the NBA?
I would say he would be in the conversation. The only reason I say that he's not, man, is because that mofo complains on every freaking call, man. He complains too much, man. You know? But hey, we all see LeBron James complain.
I was just going to say, there's some guy in LA who made a career of that.
He does, and people love him, right? Yeah. And he's the face of the NBA along with Steph Curry right now, right? Yeah. But you know, Luka, he's a likable personality, but he's just kind of salty on the court, man. And that's okay. I don't mind that because, you know, you and I, when we played ball, we're not friendly guys on the court either, man, right? Yeah. So you have to have an edge when you're playing. But Luka, you know, the first time I saw that guy play, when he played against the Warriors, I don't know if you remember this game, but it was maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. It might have been his rookie year. So he's been in the league for 6 years.
Yep.
And I saw him running down the court, and he knocked over a kid, you know, on the sideline, you know, near the basket, and he knocked over a kid, and you could see that he was so concerned, and he stayed there with the kid, making sure he was okay. Meanwhile, the game's still going on, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy really cared. That's cool, man. I like that he's not, you know, he just ignored it. He went and actually went to go make sure he was cool, man. I'm like, oh wow, that's cool. You don't see that too often, man. You know. And, you know, he stayed there. He missed the entire play. And, you know, his team got scored on by the Warriors. But that's when I saw, like, okay, this kid has something, man, if he's like that, right? So it's possible, man. He could be a future face if he wins. Definitely. He'll be in the conversation.
Well, I will tell you this. In my opinion, he and Anthony Edwards, but they're not going to win. But so with the presumption that Luka's going to – he stands to win the most – in terms of recognition, if they win the NBA Finals,
On the flip side,
I don't think that Tatum or Brown would be the face of the NBA, even if Boston wins.
No, because they're different personality types. Correct. I mean, remember we were talking about in the last episode of Buzzer Beaters, episode 8, we were talking about like the marriage that the player and the team that they play for. It has to be perfect. The player has to be marketable. The franchise also has to be, you know, good. They don't necessarily have to be, you know, market machines like, you know, the Lakers or the Knicks or the Celtics, but you have to have both. You have to have a good market plus a personality to go with it. And, you know, you got to give it to the NBA. They're trying to market Jason Tatum. They are. You're seeing.
They're trying, but yeah.
But it falls short. Not because he's not a likable guy. He is. He just doesn't have that presence. Just not that guy, man. And that's not a knock on him. Not everybody has it, right? Not everybody has it. Luka has it. He definitely has. Anthony Edwards has it in spades, man. I mean, that guy is just, he's a presence, man. You can just see the way he carries himself, right?
He is.
And Tatum isn't like that. He's just a humble guy. And that's okay. It's okay. But yeah. So I don't think he's going to be a face. Jaylen Brown's, you know, a little bit too quiet. You know, he's not very approachable, I would say. He's a nice kid. You know, he's a local kid who went to Berkeley, right? So, but again, it has to be the right combination, man.
Interestingly enough, you know, if we don't, in terms of paying attention, three of the potential faces of the NBA, are Jokic, Luka, and Giannis.
Giannis is still, he's the NBA right now if Steph and LeBron retire.
Correct. But what I'm saying is three non-US born basketball players.
Correct.
That is very fascinating to me. That is a very fascinating thing to watch and track. you know, these Olympics are going to be really interesting in regards to, you know, how the U.S. does against some of the other squads. But it's definitely, there's definitely a movement here, you know, in terms of foreign players,
you know, having a bigger presence,
being a lot better.
Having a bigger presence than ever before in the NBA, you know, but they've always been there. I mean, let's all face it. They've all, the international players have been in the NBA for quite some time. And, you know, I don't know when it first started. I know Popovich was very good at, you know, the whole Spurs staff was very good at, you know, going to the international teams and bringing players like Manu Ginobili, right, who came, Tony Parker from France, right? I mean, these guys were kind of the pioneers in doing that. So,
but the thing was, the thing about the Spurs, you know, rightfully, justly or unjustly, I don't think that Parker and Ginobili were ever looked at as that skill set. It was more about Pop system, the way they run it. You know, like when you look at Giannis, you look at Jokic, and you look at Luka, they're like, they're the talent. Yeah. You know, it's not a system, it's them.
Yeah,
the famous words of James Harden, I am the system, right? That's,
You know. No, it's a good point, man. It's a good point. So, and we also forgot about Tim Duncan. He's an international player, too.
Correct. You know, correct.
Right. Yep. So they were there. Anyway.
Now, he was the man. Now, we've had players, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon is a foreign player. He was the man.
Nigeria.
I mean, you know, so we've had this before, but I don't think we've ever had three.
Not the face of the NBA, potentially.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So, I know what you're saying, bro. So,
yeah.
All right. So Boston is going to go to the finals and likely going to be the Mavs. Once it gets there, we'll have more to talk about. We'll go ahead and leave that for when it happens, and then we can analyze that further. So let's go on to the next segment.
I do really quick want to give you your kudos because you had talked about it. That trade for Gafford and PJ Washington. Holy crap. What a heist. that trade is going to get them to the finals.
And you know, and if anything, those two players played for franchises that weren't very good, that they weren't performing well. So, you know, a note to all the GMs out there, you know, take note of what Dallas did. And I'm sure that it's not that they don't know how to do it, but they did it and they did it right, man. And they picked the right guys for this team and took them over the top. So, hopefully, you know, our Warriors can learn from that. So,
yes, but I wanted to give you your kudos because you've been thinking that for a while. So,
for sure, man. For sure, man. Yeah. Red on, man. All right, let's go to the next segment, man.
All right, here we go. Fun time. All right. I figured the way we'll do it is you'll give one, I'll give one. Did you rank yours in order?
So, just to kind of paint the picture of what I did, because in the previous segment, I actually picked by position. And I didn't want to do it this time. I kind of wanted to do it like the way you did it. Like you kind of just like positionless and it doesn't matter. But what I did is I picked five players, but I did it like it starts increasing in controversy as you go, right?
Because
that's what I did. But, you know, there's a reason why I picked the players that I did. But I can give you that as I pick them, or we can, you know, you want
to I want to go back and forth, right? So since I'm hosting, I want you to start. And if you pick somebody on my list, I can work my way down my list and pick someone further down my list.
So I only have five players.
I have more than five, but if we have a duplicate, then I can bring someone else up in the list. Like if I say someone that's already on your list, then you can go, I had them too. And then I can jump to the next guy. So go ahead, Eddie. Who's your first?
So let me give you my criteria, right?
Okay.
I picked these five players. Some of these players are like incredible talents. And some of them are actually arguably, I think they're probably on the top 75 list, a few of them, right?
Okay. All right.
And likely Hall of Fame. I think for sure one of them is Hall of Fame. But it's kind of, I tied it in with kind of what we were talking about. You know, the big market thing, you know, from our last episode eight of Buzzer Beaters, right? You know, that has some influence on, you know, the players' visibility, their hype, their hype machined, right, a little bit. But I picked these guys because these particular players were hyped up massively, whether it be in college or in the pros, because of where they played, right?
Okay.
And their stats, they're good, right? But I think they benefited more from the market that they played for, in my opinion. But I think some of these players were hyped up more than their game displayed, in my opinion. So this is the reason why I picked these players.
Okay. And in fairness, before you give your first one, just some of the criteria. I tried to stay around away from like busts, like Chris Washburn, Eddie Curry, you know, those types. I try to stay away from those guys. And I try to minimize injuries, right? Yep. So if they had debilitating injuries, you know, I tried to stay away from those players. So just a little heads up. But I have some players here as well that will probably kind of create some controversy as well. But I'm anxious to have you start.
All right, man. So like I've already said previously in the opening is that, you know, we are bringing people down in this segment, right? Whereas the underrated, we're bringing people up, people who deserve more recognition, right? In this one, we're bringing people down. We're pretty much saying that these guys, man, they were too high. They're not that great, man. But we know that there's people in our audience that are going to be hating this, man. They're going to be like, what the hell are you guys? You guys are smoking crack, right? They're going to be saying all that stuff. I guarantee you, man. I guarantee you. But, you know, it's okay. This is an opinion of ours, right? We have reasons why we pick these players. So let me go ahead and in the same fashion that I did in the underrated, I want you to guess who I'm talking about. All right?
Okay. All right.
So here we go. I think you're going to get these pretty quick, man. So the first player I picked, and again, I picked these in the order from less controversy to most controversial.
Okay.
Right?
All right. You put some thought into this. All right.
I did. All right. So the very first guy I picked, he was drafted as the number one overall pick.
Okay.
By the Charlotte Hornets in 1991 as a power forward. And he was rookie of the year. He played 10 seasons for two franchises. You know, we know the second franchise pretty much hyped this guy up. Anyway, I digress. This guy averaged 16.2 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 3.3 assists for his career. He was a two-time NBA All-Star. And I would say he was probably more known for his commercials than his playing career. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Okay.
Grandmama?
Yes. Larry Johnson. poor John. He's probably listening to this going, damn it, that's my favorite player, man. Because he was talking to us about this guy last week, right? So this guy played for Tark the Shark for UNLV Running Rebels.
Yes.
And, you know, let's place this guy was an awesome talent. Awesome. I mean, in college, he was dominant. I mean, that UNLV team was unbelievable in college. I mean, there's a lot of arguments that that team could have probably beat the worst team in the NBA. You know, I think at the time it might have been the Clippers at the time. But, you know, the Clippers are always kind of the worst ones for a while until, you know, Chris Paul and in Lob City, you know, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin arrived. But anyway, Larry Johnson was a guy, a big kid, you know, almost kind of a linebacker mold, right? You know, the thing is that he's kind of undersized. He's not huge. You know, he's just a big, muscular kid, but he's very athletic.
Yeah.
And he was more of a dunker and a slasher. Didn't really develop a really good outside shot. I mean, it's not great. It's not bad, but he was limited. And, you know, defensively, he wasn't all the best either. But you would never think that because of the way this kid was hyped, man, especially when he left the Charlotte Hornets and he went to New York Knicks. The New York Knicks totally hyped this guy. That's where he got this grandmama thing. And kudos to him. Great marketing. Great. I mean,
we're speaking of guys that aren't marketable. He was definitely marketable.
Super marketable.
And his marketability gave him the aura like he was better than he actually was. Correct. I agree with you. Yes.
Correct. Yes. So that's why I picked my first guy. So let's go to yours, bro.
All right. So my first guy is still playing.
Okay.
Career's not over.
Okay.
Came from LSU. He was a high draft pick.
He was drafted by the
76ers.
Yep.
You and I had an argument at the time when they were drafted.
Yes.
Between this guy and Brandon Ingram.
Yep.
I felt like Brandon Ingram was the way to go. You thought it was this guy.
Yes.
Who is this player?
Ben Simmons, man.
Ben Simmons.
Talented, man. But he's
uber talented.
Yes.
Well, it started with injuries. He's in his own head now. But you know, one of the reasons for me that he had so much hype coming out of college. You know, yep. He was, and the thing about it was I remember his final year at LSU, they didn't even make the tournament, you know? And yep. I remember thinking to myself, how are you hyping a guy that didn't even make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
You know, but yet he was going to be, you know, he was part of, what was the 76ers slogan? Patience or whatever, we're building it or whatever.
You're talking about the process.
The process. Thank you. He's kind of my most obvious choice. I mean, obviously his career's not over. He can get revived, but you know, they traded him over to Brooklyn. That guy's an afterthought and he's in a large market city. I wouldn't say he's on a large market team, right. But he's in a large market city and that guy has just vanished. Like, I don't even see or hear from him anymore.
You know, it's back problems he's had. He's also had some anxiety, you know, mental health issues, which you don't want to ignore, man. It's a thing now and it's real, right?
It is.
You know, I don't know if you know about, you know, the passing of the golfer that just happened, you know, over the weekend on Saturday.
Yes.
Man. I mean, that was due to mental health, man. And Grayson Murray, you know, rest in peace, man. But he's only 30 years old, you know, and it's real, right? And a lot of people, you know, I got to give it to, you know, the media and, you know, they're definitely focusing on this as something that you definitely don't want to undermine, right?
I agree.
So we don't want to undermine this because we have a tendency, you know, especially some of us old heads, come on, man up, man. Man up, right? Come on, man. Man up. No, man. I mean, some kids are not everybody's built the same, man, you know, and you got to respect people's upbringings. You got to respect their you know, their physiology, their biology. Everybody's different, man, right?
So I agree. My knock on Simmons, though, is that he never, you know, for someone that was that highly regarded, he never seemed to work on his offensive game. He seemed to want to be a rebounder and a defender.
And a distributor.
Yes. Yep. And given the pedigree he was coming from, the experience, that type of thing, he should have rounded up his game. And a lot of this started with, you know, him passing up a supposed dunk and it all kind of went downhill from there.
For sure.
You know, again, I'm not downplaying him.
Because he sucks at free throws, man. He never really worked at it, right? So that's he got in his head. And he never recovered from that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it really hit him hard how Philadelphia treated him, you know?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that. He went to a rough city if you want support.
Absolutely.
You know, Philly doesn't mess around. Yes.
Absolutely. And I think he's just a sensitive kid, man. You know, I can tell, man. I can see it, right? So he's a sensitive kid, and it's okay. We're all different, man. But, you know, I think that's a good choice. You know, I think the other reason why, man, he got bit by the Kardashians, man. Anybody who touches them, man, just gets bit. Seriously, man.
What happened to my boy Lamar Odom?
Dude, I'm telling you, Lamar Odom, Chris Humphries. The only one I think who survived was Reggie Bush, honestly. And he was the first one to kind of figure it out.
No, because they took his Heisman away.
Man, there's a poisonous, man.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Very attractive, man. It's not ignored. They're very attractive, but poison. Yeah. Pure poison.
I'm with you. All right, Eddie. Your turn now.
So my next guy, I'm going to go again. I'm going to give you the accolades. This guy was drafted in 2010. As the number one overall pick. That's two number one overall picks in a row. He was rookie of the year. You're going to get this because you know the year. It's 2010. Okay. Yeah. Played 13 seasons, 6-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA second team. This guy was a power forward. He was mostly known for his outrageous dunking ability. Okay. Amazing dunking ability. I mean, he's got unbelievable hops, right? Has a twin brother who played in the NBA. You know who I'm talking about already. He was the first to dunk over a car in the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
And we saw that, you know, Aaron Gordon did it better.
Yes.
Aaron Gordon did it too. And Aaron Gordon's hops are ridiculous, man. I mean, I think Aaron Gordon is the most underrated dunker we have ever seen. Unbelievable, man. That guy's got hops galore. But this guy was the first kind of that archetype, you know.
Out of Oklahoma. You know what, Eddie? I'm drawing a blank. I didn't know he had a twin brother that played.
Yeah.
I don't remember him. You're talking about Blake Griffin now. We're talking about Blake Griffin.
Taylor Griffin. He played.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he had a
kudos.
Twin brother. Played it. Yeah, so, but, you know.
I had him on my list.
Yep. So But so anyway, so Blake Griffin, you know, who played from Oklahoma and got drafted by the Clippers and, you know, was hyped up big time. You know, that's a big city, L.A., right? You know, the Clippers are not really known for hyping anybody up until Blake Griffin really arrived, honestly. But, you know, they had, you know, Chris Paul there. They had DeAndre Jordan. They became what's famously known as Lob City, right? Yeah. You know, for his size, this guy's like a major, major flopper, though, man. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, I think he brought it to, you know, he made it in vogue to flop, man, honestly, because he just unbelievable. I don't know if he learned that from Chris Paul, because we know Chris Paul's a huge flopper, you know, but you can't hate him too much now because he's a Warrior. It took me a hard time to get used to him to be a Warrior, but, you know, you got to like him a little bit now, right? But anyway, yeah. Blake Griffin is a big, big flopper, and, you know, he was, you know, highly regarded as the number one pick in that draft. But if they were to do that whole draft all over, who would be the number one pick, man?
Our boy, Steph.
Steph Curry.
Our boy, Steph would be.
Same draft, man. And can you believe that the Minnesota Timberwolves, the guys that are in the conference finals, they had the opportunity to pick that guy twice. Okay? They picked Johnny Flynn.
And Johnny Flynn, where's Johnny?
Yeah, Johnny Flynn from Syracuse and Ricky Rubio from Spain. And those guys were drafted before Steph Curry. Can you believe that?
And Steph Curry is both out of the league now, I think. Yeah, both out of the league. Rubio might still be around. Flynn is definitely out.
Flynn was out of the league after like 3 years, man. All right. So, but he played, he had a great tournament. And the tournament is a great platform for kids to be hyped, honestly. If they have a great tournament, they're going to be drafted well, man. And Johnny Flynn had a great tournament. So,
but anyways, did he have a better tournament than Curry?
Probably not, man. Probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
But we'll talk later in the segment as the guy who has the best NCAA tournament we have ever seen. So we'll talk about that later.
We can talk about that. All right. At another time. All right. Yep. All right. I'm going to pick a guy who came out of Kentucky. I don't remember what year, so I don't have that information. Was drafted by the Sacramento Kings. Is a center.
I know who you're talking about.
Who are we talking about?
Bagley.
No. I'm not somebody a little more controversial. So I'm going with DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus, great skill, great ability, turned down a contract at Sacramento, ended up getting hurt. And again, I don't want to knock him, but, you know, sort of along the ways of Blake Griffin, had a lot of talent that never could make anything out of it. You know, Kentucky's a highly regarded NBA farm system, if you will. And DeMarcus Cousins was, to me, someone when the Warriors picked him up, I'm like, all right, we got something here. And the guy has just, his skill set has diminished. I think, as a matter of fact, I don't think he's even playing this year. I don't think he got picked up. I think he might have retired already.
He retired. Yeah, he officially retired.
Yeah. So that's my number two guy is DeMarcus Cousins.
Man, that guy could have been a beast, though, man. I mean, yes. I mean, you know, when we picked Epe Udo in that draft, right?
Yes.
And I thought he was actually a decent player, you know, and I think he's none of one of these kids that I think got affected by the trade and it got in his mentals a little bit. He just wasn't the same after he got traded away from the Warriors to the Bucks, I think it was, he went. But anyway,
yeah, he was part of us getting Bogut.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. I think he wasn't the same since then. But anyway, Epe Udo was drafted, but DeMarcus Cousins I thought would be the guy that might fall to us, you know, and when he didn't, you know, they picked up Udo, and I know Jerry West is very high on DeMarcus Cousins because of his ability. I mean, he's a, you know, they thought he was kind of like one of these franchise changing type of, you know, assets. You know, the only thing is that the guy, you know, he, much like Draymond Green, his own persona can get in the way of a lot of things. He's just one of these highly volatile personalities that can disrupt the locker room.
And the difference is Draymond's winning overcame it.
Right.
And DeMarcus couldn't do the same.
Yep. But good pick, man. I mean, I forgot about him, man. So that's a good pick, man. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So let's go to my third one. All right. Again, all right. We're increasing in controversy. All right.
Okay. Here we go.
This guy is, you know, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. He's pretty soon going to be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. But anyway, that gives you a little sneak peek. Was drafted as the third overall pick by the Denver Nuggets in 2003. As a power forward, and he actually was drafted behind LeBron James and Darko Milicic. Those are the first two picks of that draft. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. He played 19 NBA seasons, 10-time All-Star, one-time NBA scoring title in 2013. He is a second. He has two All-NBA second teams and four-time All-NBA third team. Okay? You probably don't know who this guy is yet, but I'll give you some more.
I mean, he's too old. But immediately I thought Antonio McDyess, but it's not Antonio McDyess.
No. This is a very obvious one, man, right? Some of the audience may have already figured this out.
It's on the I know. He's on my list, too. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Who is it?
Carmelo.
Absolutely, man. Yes.
Carmelo
Anthony. And this is one of the guys. I mean, dude, he was a beast in college. Okay. He played for Syracuse, you know, won a title. And, you know, he's an offensive machine. He's a scoring machine and probably one of the hardest guys to defend for because of his size. And he could shoot, right? But that's all he could
do. Offensive brilliance.
Absolutely. He was very good at it, man. And he's, you know, a lot of people consider him as one of the hardest guys to guard because of his skill set, you know, being a decent dribbler, but just kind of like a lot of moves to, and he's big and he's strong, right? And he can score at any level, but that's all that dude can do, man.
That's it.
You know,
as soon as
he got the ball, dude, you know, the ball was going up, man. He never freaking passed the ball. Yep. Honestly, man, I watched the game. I'm like, oh, it's Carmelo's going to get the ball. That's it. He's shooting, right? He doesn't pass. And I think later in his career, he started figuring it out that, you know, as his, you know, his talents started diminishing, right? That you know, he needed to do more than just score because, you know, the defenses were faster than him and knew how to take him out. So he had to figure out how to rebound, how to play defense better because he did do those things better later on in his career, right? But I always thought this guy, man, was overrated, man, always. But he's good.
There was a moment where the discussion was LeBron or Melo.
Yes.
And Carmelo, I agree with you. He chose not to learn to play defense. He chose not to figure out how to work within the structure of a team in terms of passing and things of that nature. But offensively gifted. But
absolutely. But here's the trend that I've picked in the first three picks. Okay. The first three picks, they're all top three picks in the draft, right?
Yep.
They all played for major markets too, okay? Larry Johnson played for the Knicks. Carmelo Anthony played for the Knicks. Blake Griffin played for L.A., right?
Yep.
But none of them won a title. So titles matter in the legacy of a player, man.
I think they matter. I mean, he's not on my list. Hopefully he's not on yours. But you take someone like Charles Barkley, right?
Yep. He was a beast, man. Though,
I think because he hasn't won championships, he's a tad underrated. Like, I don't think people remember exactly how dominant Charles Barkley was. Unfortunately, he played in an era with the greatest basketball player of all time, and he couldn't squeeze out a championship. So I think there are circumstances in which, but I agree with you. If you don't win a championship, that has to really look at in regards to what you're rated.
What are your compensating factors to make up that you don't have a scoring title?
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, you look at someone like Steve Nash, who also has never won a championship, but he came in kind of low profile and made a name for himself, and became a two-time MVP and became, you know, a good player, which I always thought when he was drafted was low. Because, you know, we had him out here in Santa Clara, and I'm like, dude, this dude is better than what he got drafted as.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a
solid player, but it took a couple of years.
Yeah. But, you know, but interestingly enough, Steve Nash is one of the guys that was actually, when I was kind of researching this a little bit, kind of seeing, you know, I had some guys in mind. A lot of people were hyping this guy up as being overrated, Steve Nash. So,
I would agree if I think that he built his hype. Like, when he came out of college, no one knew him, right? And so if you think he's overrated, sure, maybe you're saying he shouldn't have won two MVPs, but that's a different level. Like, he made a name for himself. To me, Carmelo Anthony, he couldn't have asked for a better introduction into the league. And because he was so offensively gifted, people were wondering till they got to a certain point, and you're like, no, this guy's just not worth it, you know, even with his offensive skill. Because I think that he stopped getting opportunities even before his game diminished. His game was still solid, but people were just like, yeah, no, we need someone who's going to play defense and pass and, you know, rebound and things of that nature. But, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, along those lines, I'm going to jump around as well. Since you're picking so many Knicks, I will start with this guy. who is known in New York.
Now, right? This is your third player.
This is my third player. I'll jump to him. He was actually drafted, I believe, by the Timberwolves. Played many, many years with Kevin Garnett. Couldn't ever kind of get along, figure out how to play there. Ended up, ended up going to New York. Point guard. Was very highly touted. Ended up playing the majority of his career overseas, where he made a big, strong name for himself.
Starberry.
Yes, Starberry. Stephon Marbury.
Stephon Marbury, yep.
I think that guy had a lot of hype and no championships. You know, was from New York, had a homecoming in New York, got a lot of pub about that, but ultimately a disappointment, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he's uber talented, though, man. But yeah, it just didn't translate. Yeah. It didn't translate. For whatever reason, it just didn't translate. It might have been his personality. I don't know, man. For whatever reason, his game didn't translate very well in the NBA. But you could see the potential was there, but it just never really emerged.
Well, if you ask me, if you ask me from a talent perspective, right, I would take Marbury and Kevin Garnett over Ant-Man and Karl Anthony Towns. From a talent level, I think Anthony Edwards may be the most talented of the lot, but I think Karl Anthony Towns is the least talented of the lot.
Interesting. So you would take who again? You would take...
Like, if you gave Anthony me... Edwards and... You would think... I mean, now we know how everything played out.
Yeah.
But if you gave me four guys and seeing who they are in terms of their talent, I would have taken Kevin Garnett and Stephon Marbury over
Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns, and
Minnesota could not even get as far as those two players have taken this current squad.
Correct. Interesting. That's an interesting take, man. Kevin Garnett is a Hall of Famer, and very good defensive player. Very good defensive player. That's probably what he is really most known for. I mean, he has a decent offensive game, but you know, a really good defensive player and a very good leader. You know, he's one of these vocal kind of leaders. You know, I've heard people kind of put him on this list as overrated. I think he's underappreciated, honestly. That's what I would categorize
him. I would agree. And Stephon Marbury, a very highly skilled offensive player, a good floor general, you know. Yep. And I think that those two I would have picked every day of the week over Ant-Man. Not because I do think Ant-Man is progressing to be the most talented of the four. You know, it's not there yet, but I think those two guys are better than Karl Anthony Towns, which is why I would take those two.
Yeah, interesting take, man. All right, man. So we're actually going on the same train here, bro. So my fourth pick, and I got one more after this. All right, okay. My fourth pick again. I put it in the order of least controversial, and it's starting to grow into controversy, right?
Okay,
in the controversy area. And I know there's going to be people hating me for even bringing this guy up. But we've talked about this guy already in a previous podcast, okay? All right, so there you go. You probably know what we're talking about. He was drafted in 1985 as the number one overall pick.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
17 seasons and 15 of them for one franchise. And we all know that one franchise, man, it's a marketing machine, bro, for their players, right? 11-time All-Star, two-time gold medal winner, right? Six-time All-NBA second-team player. This guy was a beast in college.
Yes.
Beast. He was a defensive beast in college, man. I think that when he went to the NBA, he became more offensive-oriented, you know? But
I would agree.
Defensively, he was unbelievable in college, right? But he developed I would say he's considered probably one of the better mid-range shooting centers we have seen in the game, and you got to give it to him. He worked on it, man. But you know, the unfortunate thing is that he actually played against Hakeem, Shaquille O'Neal, David Robinson, right? Yes. All those guys are Hall of Famers, and this guy's a Hall of Famer himself.
None of those, if I think it is who you're going to say, none of those with the amount of publicity and hype and build that he got. As a matter of fact, he's the one that has the cold envelope conspiracy theory, right? Where back then you had to like pick the envelope, and someone had said that they put that with his name in the freezer so it would be cold. so the Knicks would know who to take.
Are you serious?
Yes, look it up. Look it up. I don't know if I have the facts correctly, but yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Came out of Georgetown, correct? The player you're going to say.
Exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing.
And he is a Hall of Famer.
He is.
But again, this guy has not won a title, all right? He was just unlucky that he faced Jordan 5 times in the playoffs. So, you know, but, this guy's a good player. I'm not knocking him as a good player. He was a good player. I wouldn't say he was a great player. He was probably a very good player, but not great. Olajuwon, great. O'Neal, questionable, but he's great because he's so freaking big, you can't stop him. And then you got David Robinson, man. He's just a very, very versatile big, man. And he was good at both ways, right? Really good both ways.
And, Eddie, let's not forget that for at least a good portion of his career, played for a coach that has won championships in every organization he's been in except for New York.
Riley.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this guy, you know, I would say the other thing that this guy's well known for, other than his outside shooting and his defense in college, very, very efficient cooling system. You know what I'm talking about? There's even freaking commercials about this guy, about how efficient his cooling system is. And you know what I'm talking about when we say efficient cooling system? We're talking about a boy who sweats big time, man.
Yes,
I mean, that big guy time. Dude, I mean, they had him off the floor every time that guy was coming down the court, man, how much that guy sweat. And, dude, I'm a big sweater myself, man. It's a known thing,
me
man.
Too.
But that me dude too. Was a whole nother level, man.
He invented the T-shirt under the jersey. Just to contain some of the soapy.
Oh, my God. And then you got Kevin Hart telling him, you got to take a shower before, right? I thought you already took a shower in that commercial, right? Anyway, so we're talking about Patrick Ewing. So that's controversial because I know that I know John's going to be hating us after this, man, because we talked about a lot of Knicks.
We picked a lot of Knicks.
Exactly.
All right. I have two controversial ones coming up.
Right.
I'm trying to wait and see if you don't – maybe one of them you're taking – I'm going to take the one of a guy who actually did win a championship, but I think he is overrated.
Oh, shit.
He played in Boston. He played in Boston. It required the previous player that we were just talking about joining with him, forces with him, to end up winning a championship. This guy talks. Today he'll go on drunk rampages or he'll talk. I think he was with ABC for a while, kind of giving his overview on players. But I think this guy is one of the most overrated players in the Celtic lore history. And that is Paul Pierce.
Oh, I knew that. Okay. I knew that's who you're going to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Paul Pierce, to me, really did nothing until Garnett and,
Rajon Rondo.
Not Rajon Rondo, the three-pointer. I'm getting old.
Yeah. Anyway.
The guy who ended up playing for Miami, he left Miami to go join Boston. He left Boston to join Miami. Anyway, never mind. I keep wanting to say Allen Houston, but it's not Allen Houston. I can see his face. Anyway, he ended up, winning a championship with not Rajon Rondo, but it was Kevin Garnett and the third guy from Milwaukee, the three-point guy from Milwaukee, the second, third best three-pointer in the history of the NBA. Why are we both drawing blanks? Anyway.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I don't know.
I'll find him in a minute. Anyway, so to me, Paul Pierce, severely overrated. He won a championship, but, with Doc Rivers, who, if we're talking about overrated coaches, let's throw Doc Rivers into that batch. So that's my guy, Paul Pierce. Now I got to find the name.
Yeah, I when you said Milwaukee, dude, third best three-point shooter ever?
Yeah, he came out of Milwaukee. Hold on,
Anyway, all right, so while you're looking that up, I'm going to go for my last one, man. My last one, this is what I thought you were talking about when you first mentioned that. This guy.
Ray Allen.
Okay, Ray. Oh, yeah.
Ray Allen, sorry.
Ray Allen. Yeah. Okay, Ray Allen. So the guy that I'm picking here is, I thought you were talking about this guy. So you said this guy's won one title.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So, okay. There's a sneak peek. He was the first number one overall pick. Okay. By the way, five of my guys, four of them are number one overall picks. Okay.
Okay.
So this guy was the number one overall pick in 2012 by the Charlotte Hornets. That should tell you something.
Okay.
They're no longer called the Hornets.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So they're now called New Orleans
Pelicans.
Right. Pelican.
All right.
Yeah.
He left the University of Kentucky after playing one season. Okay. He is still playing in the NBA today. He is in his 12th season. He's an 8-time NBA All-Star, 4-time All-NBA first team, 2-time All-NBA first team, 3-time NBA blocks leader. You're going, holy crap. Why is this guy being on this guy's list that's overrated?
Blocks.
I'm going to keep going, but I kind of want to put this guy in a different category rather than overrated. Okay. He made the 75th NBA anniversary team. You already know what I'm talking about. And this is the same 75th anniversary team that Klay Thompson was omitted from. Right? He wore that number 77, I think, or whatever it was, that jersey, right? Because he got omitted. He should have been number 76 because I think there was a tie for the 75th. He should have been number 77. Anyway, this guy has never played a full season. Never. Okay? He's missed 25% of the games in his career. I mean, that's a big number, okay? He's known for being a very versatile, defensive-minded, athletic big with guard-like skills. This is somebody that you know I really like, man. I like him a lot. You know what I'm talking about now, right?
Oh, okay.
If you don't know, I'm going to keep going.
No. Is it AD? Okay.
Yes. It's Anthony Davis.
Yes. Okay.
You know how much I like Anthony Davis.
The unibrow.
Yes, I like him a lot, but I would probably put him in another category. I would put him as probably top five players with the most potential to be the best at his position, man. But injuries, and I think lack of a killer instinct, got in this guy's way, man.
Yes,
you know, he won a title, but that title is questionable because it happened during the COVID years, right? You know, it was that shortened season, you know, that one, you know, in the COVID year, the 2020, I think is when they won it. But, you know, this guy has monster game, man. But it's a known thing that this guy could have like a huge game and then disappear the next game. Huge game, disappear the next game. Consistency is the issue with this guy, man. Yep. Consistency, lack of a killer instinct, okay? And just injuries, man. Yeah. Injuries just plagued this guy, unfortunately. And just, you know, you can't blame the guy for being injured, but we don't know why certain people get injured more often than others. Just don't know why. I mean, crap, I don't know why I got Bell's palsy. For those of you that didn't know why this side of the face doesn't work very well, but I got it, and it never came, you know, never came back. It's because, you know, I had Lyme disease. But anyway, I digress. But we don't know why. We don't know why, you know, people get, they have a tendency to get injured more than others. And this guy, unfortunately, just got blessed with a bad physiology, man. This guy always gets hurt. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's maybe the way he trains, you know, maybe he just needs a better trainer. Maybe he doesn't take the offseason, you know, very seriously. I don't know. But for whatever reason, this guy's getting injured. And this guy is uber talented, man. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Let's face it, right? But that's why I didn't want to call him. He's the most controversial pick out of my list. I didn't want to say he's overrated. Like I said, I think he's the guy who has the most potential to be one of the best players at his position of all time, but things got in the way. So,
All right. Good pick. All right, here's my guy. I think he's going to be controversial. Similar to AD, very talented player. And I'll give you an easy hint to see. Well, if you know this, he's Vince Carter's cousin, played the majority of the
–
Tracy McGrady. I think he is – I don't think his skill set is overrated. But when I look at him and his postseason career, I do not understand how this guy was not more successful in the postseason, given his dominance. I mean, a lot of people remember Vince Carter's jumping ability, and later on he became a very decent three-point shooter. Yeah. But Tracy McGrady was like almost like Scottie Pippen on steroids. I mean, this dude was like a very, very, very good player.
Uber athletic, man.
Uber athletic.
They compared him to Kobe Bryant as far as like his athleticism. Yeah,
he was compared to him very much. But that's where the comparison stopped, because Kobe won, and this guy couldn't manage to win.
But the difference is Kobe just has that freaking just killer that's, instinct.
That's my point. You know,
that's the difference.
I actually struggled a little bit on the, but because he is such an icon, the guy that I would compare Tracy McGrady to in terms of just I don't understand is Allen Iverson. Those two players, I don't understand why they weren't more successful. You know, and Tracy, and like I look at, so I don't know if you want to say he was overrated or whatever, but Tracy McGrady, in my opinion, should have done more with his career.
And you probably want to put him in the same categories like put, you know, Anthony Davidson, you know.
Correct.
A guy who has all the skills to be, you know, a top five player at his position. But for whatever reason, the mental's got in the way, you know, the killer
instinct. But that was the thing. I don't know. When I look at McGrady, the mental's don't look like it was a problem. He wasn't ever particularly hurt. I mean, he had injuries, but he was, you know, he had everything. He had height. He had athleticism. You know, he had what appeared to be the right fire, but couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, man. Interesting, man. You know, we're gonna get a bunch of we're gonna get a bunch of hate mail on this thing. You know, because you know,
I'm not saying like these guys weren't good players. Well, some of them ended up being very limited. But I think the reason that the more controversial picks, like Anthony Davis, like Stephon Marbury, like Tracy McGrady, like, well, Marbury's a little more clear. He just couldn't seem to get the right chemistry with people. But like Anthony Davis and Tracy McGrady, they're damn good players. Yeah. But why aren't they winning more? You know, at least getting to the conference finals, at least, you know, doing, you know, a little more of that. And so that's my controversial pick.
Interesting, man. All right. So we picked five players each. And you know, this, you know, I know, like I said, this is, you know, a controversial topic because, like I said in the segment before it started, we're tearing people down here, man.
We are
bringing them up, right?
And we are
a lot of these guys, you know, they're favorites of people that are listening to the show. I'm sure some of the people that listen to the show have some of their jerseys, right? Because you know, let's face it, some of these guys were very, very good players, but we're just kind of putting them in the category of they should have done more and been more for what they were, right? And we just felt that these guys were overhyped by the media, and that's the reason why we, at least for me, I have them on my list, man. So good segment, Tuan. Let's go to the last one. We're definitely over time. Dude, we are just notorious for going over time, but it's okay, man. We're not going to spend that much time on this, man. So the last segment here is we all learned about Bill Walton's passing yesterday. I wanted to spend some time to go over his career, talk about some of the things we may have remembered about him. You know, when I'll talk a little bit about him. So, you know, of course, this guy died at a really young age. I mean, he's only 71 years old, man.
71
you know,
is young.
That's young, man. You know, I lost my mom and she was 79, and that's young, man. So, 71 is uber young. So, but anyway, this guy was
You know what's weird, Eddie?
What's that?
My mom was 79 too.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Yeah, it's way too young for people to be dying.
For those of you out there that don't know, our moms died within 6 months of each other.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Within six months of each other.
Yeah. So. Yeah, man. That was man. Anyway, your memorial, man. Whew. That was tough, man. Anyway, bro. All right, so we digress. But anyway, Bill Walton is a two-time college champion, a three-time consecutive Player of the Year. Which is also called the Naismith Award. There's only been two players that have ever done that. He's one of them. The other guy is, you know who the other guy is?
Kareem.
Nope.
Not Kareem.
Nope. I'll give you a clue. He played for the Warriors. He played for the Warriors for a very short period of time.
Ralph Sampson.
Yes. Okay. All right. This guy, remember we were talking about, like, you know, the NCAA.
Which, by the way, was on my overrated list, but way down at the bottom.
Was he? Oh, you mean Bill Walton?
No, Ralph Sampson.
Oh, Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
Man, you want to tear the guy down after he died, man? I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. Bill Walton. No.
Okay. Yeah, Ralph
Sampson. I didn't watch enough of Bill Walton. I'll talk about my memories of Bill Walton, but go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll keep going through some of the accolades. Remember, we were talking about, you know, the NCAA tournament and how certain guys just have the games of their lives, and you know, a certain player I forgot who you talked about that had like a really good tournament. And I mentioned that there's a guy who even had a bigger tournament, probably considered the best NCAA tournament that we've ever seen to date. Well, Bill Walton, man, check this guy out, man. he scored 44 points in a freaking championship game and went 21 of 22 in shots. Okay? That's considered probably the greatest performance ever in a Final Four game. And that
funny little fact, his point guard, which I can't remember his name, went 1 of 1. So he was 100%. So Bill Walton, in terms of percentages, was second on the team.
Oh, no way, no way.
Do you know what that is? I'm trying to remember his name, but it'll hit me in a minute.
It's not Lucius Allen, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so this guy, for that reason, he was the number one overall pick in 1974. He played 13 NBA seasons, two-time NBA champion. He, unfortunately, was marred by chronic foot injuries all of his career. He had
speaking of, you know, Anthony Davis and why people are built certain ways, and he's one of them.
He's one of them. He's the original Anthony Davis. Okay, so it kind of tied in because you remember I brought up the stat about Anthony Davis only playing in 25% of the games. This guy, Bill Walton, missed 44% of regular season games. I mean, that's freaking incredible, man. I mean, to be considered one of the all-time centers and haven't missed that many games, this guy say something about this guy's game, man, because, you know, this guy is very versatile. I mean, he was a really, really good player. He did everything well, right? Finals MVP in 1977 for the Portland Trail Blazers, played for Jack Ramsey, Jack Ramsey, was the MVP of the league in 1978. But then he has, again, these foot injuries kept coming back, right? But he's considered one of the best passing bigs of all time.
Bill Walton is probably one of the first guys. Like, he could play in today's game. Like, he would thrive in today's game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing is that he couldn't shoot really well from outside because that's what you need right now. It's a three-point, right, shot. He could probably get there, right? But he had a really good mid-game, very good defensive player, and just a really good passer, man. That's what he's – I mean, he's kind of
like Draymond on steroids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's – a lot of people compare, you know, Arvydas Sabonis to Bill Walton as far as passing ability. And then now you have Jokic, who brings that to a whole another level, right? But
correct.
Those two guys paved the way for Jokic, right? So Arvydas and Bill Walton paved the way for Jokic for who the player he is today. I'm sure he looked at these guys as examples of how to be a center in the NBA. But anyway, what's interesting is that Dr. Jack Ramsey, you know, he said that when this guy was on the court, I had no problems. I had nothing to worry about with this guy when he's on the court. However, when he was off the court, I don't know, man. I'm a little worried about what this guy does because this guy was, you know, he was arrested in college. I don't know if you knew that, but he was arrested in college because he was protesting the Vietnam War. I think it was his second year at UCLA. And UCLA, you know, all these UCs, they protest. They're known for protesting. Berkeley's probably the worst at protesting. UCLA is up there too, right? My brother-in-law went there at UCLA, and he protested, and he got in trouble for protesting too. But anyway, I digress.
The rite of passage.
But it gives you an idea about how passionate this person was. I mean, he's one of these guys that, you know, loved the NBA. NBA wasn't his life. It was a way to make a living. But what's interesting is when he got arrested and then he made a statement after his arrest. And I'm going to quote this. What he said is an interesting quote. He said, "Your generation has screwed up the world. My generation is trying to straighten it out. Money doesn't mean anything to me. It can't buy happiness. And all I want is just to be happy." End quote.
Yeah.
That's an interesting statement, man.
It's a powerful statement.
Very powerful statement. But that kind of shows you that this guy just had a brain, man. I mean, he was just very smart, right? Supposedly he was a very good chess player too. Okay. That's something that, you know, people who are smart typically are pretty good chess players, or people who are very good chess players are really smart players, vice versa. Anyway, so and he also missed practice, you know, for the Celtics because he had to go protest somewhere, you know, and it's known for that he did this a few times. I think it was something that was brought up by I don't know if you saw the Sports Center interview with Danny Ainge, and they were talking about, you know, him doing this, right? That he actually he left practice because he had to go freaking protest. He's just one of these guys. He's one of these.
No, he felt a civic responsibility.
He's a Renaissance man type of guy.
You know, the one thing that stands out to me about him, you know, given his NBA career and how often he was hurt, It would have been so easy for him to be a bitter guy, to be angry, you know, at whoever. But he's such a positive guy. I mean, every time I see him as he got older and he was an announcer, you know, he's just, this is the best and that's the best and this is fantastic and he's this.
He is. He's totally like that. So everything was superfluous.
With positivity.
Yes. Yeah. Every statement would have a superfluous statement to it, right? The best.
Exactly. Which is something I'm learning. You know, there's intelligence and then there's emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, not to pick on him, but you know, Draymond's an intelligent guy. Yeah. It's his emotional intelligence that sometimes hampers his situations.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Bill Walton was both intelligent and he had a lot of strong emotional intelligence.
And supposedly, you know, there's an argument that emotional intelligence is a higher proving ground of how high your IQ is, more than, you know, just IQ. Anyway,
I would believe it from someone who suffers from emotional intelligence or has in the past. It is hard. It is hard to control your emotions. It is hard. And, you know, and like I said, given his scenario, I mean, my fondest memories of Bill Walton or my earliest memories is him waving the towel as Larry Bird is scoring, you know, to win an NBA Finals for the Celtics. And he's sitting there with, you know, knee pads and knee braces and whatever. And he's just, you know, let's go, you know. And I'm like, who is this guy, man? He's just like a big cheerleader over there.
He's floating, man. But, you know, he's a free spirit, man. I mean, the guy was a total deadhead. You know what a deadhead is, right?
The
Grateful Dead. And, you know, he would actually quote a lot of their songs during his broadcast. You know what's interesting about this guy is that, you know, as a broadcaster, I think he became more known as a broadcaster.
Correct.
Versus a player. I think everybody knew that he was a good player, but I think because of his injury history, it kind of got in the way of him being revered or considered one of these all-time greats, although he's still considered one of the best centers we have seen. But again, the injuries kind of got in the way. But when he became a broadcaster, that took him over the edge. I mean, that guy was uber talented from a broadcast standpoint.
Yeah.
He actually was named one of the top 50 sports broadcasters of all time by the American Sportscaster Association.
You know, he wasn't as good as him, but he gave me a vibe like Bill King used to.
Oh. Yeah,
you
know, he's just a real person, man.
Yeah, he's just kind of down to earth, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's something that Dave Pasch said. You know, Dave Pasch was interviewed last night on SportsCenter, and he said, the one thing that I learned about Bill Walton is that to be real, man, to be who you really are, man. Because, Dave Pasch, you know, Bob Costas, they're graduates of Syracuse, right? And these guys are known for broadcasting, right? And, you know, they're very top-notched, you know, straight-laced kind of broadcasters, right? And I think Dave Pasch got opened up a little bit by Bill Walton because Bill Walton just opened him up a little bit. He made him silly, right? Kind of a little
bit
more silly.
Yeah, how could you not?
He's awesome, man. You know, he's some of the things he would say, man. And you know what's also a very interesting fact about this? That he became, Bill Walton in his playing career, he was kind of known as more of an aloof, standoffish personality type. Didn't really, you know, vibe too much with being interviewed by anybody. And what the reason why is because he had a speech impediment. He had stammering issues, and he actually had that. You know, he worked on it, got some therapy on it, and got through it. And you know, and now he becomes one of the best broadcasters we have ever seen. Right. So for those of you out there, if you have something that needs to be worked on, I mean, this guy's a role model, right?
No, I agree.
You can overcome it. You can overcome
it. Which is also, he grew up in a household where they didn't even watch sports. They didn't even care about sports.
Interesting.
You know, and so he not only figured out one, you know, in his speech impediment, he actually got into a career that wasn't even, you know, discussed or brought up or taught in his household.
Isn't that trip, man?
It's no, that is. That
it's
is
amazing, man. So,
no, and that's what makes him a fascinating person.
No, I know.
He truly was in touch with who he was, which is when you see that, it's, you know, you can feel it. You know, you can feel the originality or the
genuine, you know, how genuine he is.
Yes, genuine. That's the word,
right? Just very genuine, man. So
very genuine.
You know, we all lost somebody that meant the world to the NBA, not just because of his playing career, just because of who he was as a person. You know, he let his guard down. He let his true self be known and wasn't afraid to show it. And I got, you know, I would say that's a lesson for a lot of us is that, you know, be yourself, man. Don't try to be somebody else. Okay. People will appreciate who you are, man. You know, just be who you are. So,
and I hope Bill encourages more characters in the NBA. You know, Barkley's a character. You know, Shaq can be a character. We need more of that in our, you know, in our NBA. And
absolutely, man. Absolutely, man.
In all in all our sports.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. Any final thoughts on Bill Walton before we end the show, man?
No, I think, you know, kudos to him. Kudos to his family. Obviously, his son, Luke, played for the Lakers, coached for the Warriors for a while. You know, my sympathy to his family.
Absolutely.
You know, it must be hard. I understand he was dealing with cancer. I understand this wasn't exactly unexpected, but it must be hard to lose somebody like that in your life. You know, someone who is just so positive, so supportive, so reinforcing, you know, that, you know, I would miss him. If he was my parent, I would definitely miss him.
Absolutely.
NBA is going to miss him. You know, I think of people that have gone, you know, Craig Sager was one that was a unique character, you know.
Yes.
I think of these people and
they're cool.
You know, they're a little, you know, when I was younger, it's funny how things change when you get older. You know, when I was younger, I'd look at odd people and think they're weird. Just like that I would be judgmental, you know.
Yeah.
The older I get, when someone's different, like you appreciate that. It's like, all right, this person's bringing a different perspective. They're bringing a different angle, and you learn things from them. And Bill Walton was definitely one of those guys. Like, you know, when I was younger, I'd be like, this dude's a little odd. And like, you learn to love and, you know, appreciate that oddness. And just, but absolutely. He is who he is.
You embrace it, man. Embrace the differences, man. That's what makes the world
embrace
go around,
the differences.
Man.
So, that's right.
Yeah. So, all right, man. Hey, Twan, great show, man. We covered three topics. We talked about the NBA playoffs. And, you know, by the way, as we were finishing this show, the Mavericks lost. So it's going to go to game five. It's going to be in Minnesota. Very interesting. So we're going to talk about that next week. I'm sure by that time, it's going to be the finals, right? So we talked about the NBA playoffs, and then we also talked about, you know, some of the all-time overrated players. I know it's going to be a controversial segment, but hey, we want to spurn the conversation. We invite your commentary.
Yeah.
We appreciate your commentary. Keep it coming. We appreciate your views. We're lucky to have, you know, this show being highly viewed right now for gremlinsmedia.com. So we appreciate your viewing. And the last but not least, we talked about Bill Walton, man, you know, the passing of a legend, you know, a guy that was very embraced in the NBA world, not only for his playing career, but just because of the person that he was.
And that's the remarkable part about him. He's, in terms of NBA status, he's not a legend because of his NBA career. He's a legend because of who he was.
Correct.
His collegiate career, what he did. Like, that's why he's a legend, which, you know, for anybody who's in the sport, you know, there's many ways you can impact the sport. And so, you know, for those of you that we rated, overrated, underrated, you know, you can impact the sport in different ways. So
Exactly, man. Well said, Twan. So anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters signing off at episode 9. You can find Buzzer Beaters at gremlingsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlings Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. You can also find us on Facebook, as well as X, formerly known as Twitter. Twan, great show, man. And just as a sneak peek for next week, we're going to go ahead and focus again on the NBA playoffs, but we're also going to talk about the upcoming NBA draft. Twan and I are going to review some teams. We're going to divide and conquer. We're going to cover all 30 teams. We're covering 15 each. We're going to give you a sneak peek each week leading up to the draft for a live draft show that we're going to have.
Live draft show, yeah.
For those live draft show. So tune in on that. We'll keep talking about it as we go. But we appreciate you listening. Thanks for listening to Buzzer Beaters. This is Eddie Aparicio as well as Anthony Correll signing off.